Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting
across America.
Turn it up. Hey.
Let's go!
What's up? Welcome to Wednesday's show. Morning, studio!
Morning!
Let's go around the room. This first person has recently been accepted into the ducking life as a Jeep owner. And he says one day he'd like to be a kidney donor.
Hey, if that opportunity lends itself, I'll be there.
Here's producer Eddie.
Guys, I rode for the first time in a tiny plane.
I saw this Instagram story that you posted. I was like, you're out of your mind.
I felt the same way. So here's what happened. I went to lunch with a friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. We're talking at lunch. He's like, man, I bought a plane. I've been taking lessons for years.
Tiny plane.
Yes. And I'm like, wow, well, that's awesome. He's like, actually, I got to fly it over to another airport. Do you want to come with me? And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything. Let's go. Dude, we go. We drive up to his hangar. It looks like a garage at the airport. And he pulls it himself out. That's how light this plane is. He pulls it out.
With his hands?
With his hands, just walking backwards. And I'm like, hey, how much does this thing weigh? Like 100 pounds? He's like, it's not heavy. I felt it. It's not heavy.
Dude, he just grabbed the plane and pulled it?
There's like some metal thing that you put on the front wheel and you just drag it.
Okay.
But what? Still, he's pulling it with his
own body. Incredible.
Go ahead.
Amazing. So we get in there. He puts the headset on.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, especially like how light it is. I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, this is like we're a piece of paper in the middle of the air. So we take off. I mean, he's doing the whole flight control thing, like, oh, permission to take off. And I'm like, this is crazy. Dude, those tiny planes, they move in ways I've never felt an airplane move. It goes left, right, the tail wiggle, waggles, everything. You drop a little bit, you go up, and it's one prop. It's one fan in the front of the plane doing this whole thing. And I'm like, this is crazy. If you looked at me, I was like, this is awesome, man. This is fun. Deep inside, I was like stressing out.
Would you do it again?
I don't know. The cool thing is like he can get to the beach in 2 hours. He's like, dude, you want to go to Florida? Let's go tomorrow. I'm like, that's pretty bold.
But the bad thing is you may die in a fiery crash because the plane.
That's true.
Very small. How long were you in it?
The flight was probably 20 minutes. But dude, I was just like, let's get there faster.
I saw it and I was like, I'd never do this in a million years. That's crazy.
It was really crazy.
Thank you, Eddie. His wardrobe consists of rotating two hoodies when he comes to work every day. And he likes to harass phone screener Abby in every single way. Here's Lunchbox.
I did it, guys. I did it. I signed up as a free agent for my soccer because I got cut. My team didn't want me back. And I said, all right, you know what? At 41 years old, I could retire or I could just sign up as a free agent, get thrown on a random team. So I will be on a random team. And this might be the motivation I need to win another championship. You know how athletes, they get cut or they get traded. Like, oh, you know what? That really sparked the, you know, fire in me again. So I'm back. I'm going to be a free agent.
Why do you think you got cut?
I don't know.
Jealousy?
Come on.
It could be jealousy. Maybe I'm too intense. Maybe I take it too serious.
What do you think the real reason is, though?
I really have no idea. I felt like a couple of the new people on the team, like, I don't think they really liked me. And
you think that's what it is? Do you think that you're level of playing has stayed the same?
Yeah, and I think maybe I'm too intense. Maybe I'm just...
You suck. Or you do suck now.
No, I don't suck. And maybe I'm abrasive.
Well, that's true. We knew that. True.
Yeah. And so, like, because the two new people are the first ones that responded to the text when I said, hey, who's in for next season? They're like, we're out. And I was like, okay, the two new people, I kind of felt like they didn't like me.
But it's natural. You're 42?
41.
41? Your athletic ability should be diminishing a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not?
No.
Okay. Let us know how it goes. So they just pick somebody random. It's like when your kids are six and they're on baseball teams and they just pick people.
Yeah, you just get put on a random team. They put it in an email and say, here's your team.
What did you put your name down as?
I had to put my real name because I got to sign up.
Are they going to know it's you?
That's the problem, you know? They're going to be like, dang, we got a celebrity in our league.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
All right, moving on. This next person won Employee of the Month in May, and everybody can just hope she didn't blow that entire $1 that she won away. All right, Amy. Yeah.
I decided to let my son watch the Jelly Roll documentary that's on Hulu with me. And the reason why I say that's a deal is because, well, there's lots of language, and Jelly Roll is smoking stuff and just... I debated it, and then ultimately I decided, okay, this is a story of, you know, Jelly Roll's life was one way. I mean, he was in and out of jail from, you know, a teenager to his 20s. And it's a story of, you know, someone that had an opportunity to change and they took it, and that the choices we make can impact us the rest of our life. I'm just thinking of the different things that Stevenson and I got to talk about because of it. And that's one of them, like why some kids go to jail, like what you could do and where, what that looks like. And then also that, yeah, smoking that stuff is legal some places, not all. It's not a cigarette. Like there were so many questions.
Did you like it?
Yes, it was. I mean, it's really, really good. Like, I highly recommend it. Just know that there is language, and you can talk to your kids. I mean, your kids, it's not like they've never heard that stuff before, and it's just such a powerful story of overcoming something. Oh, and the big takeaway, too, was that every kid and every person, for that matter, just needs to feel loved and worthy. And Jelly Roll said that. And I feel like that stuck with Stevenson of like, oh, yeah, you know, that is good. Being loved and feeling worthy. Because in Jelly Roll's mind, like, that's what is going to help keep kids out of jail. Not just continuing to punish them over and over.
It's on Hulu, right?
It's on Hulu. Yeah, and it's good.
It's real good.
Yeah.
Right?
From Mount Pine, Arkansas, he went to the softball championships as a fan. And it looks like he got a tan. Bobby Bones.
All right. Thank you, I did. Hey, I'll just say this. This is a little bit of, again... in the weeds, inside baseball, but how we do our show is we come on the air, obviously, and we know if the kids are waking up and going to school, they're up a little earlier, and so we don't get dirty on the show anyway. We don't do blue content. We don't curse, and one may actually slip out occasionally, but we don't. But if we do anything like that, like Morning Corny After Dark or any of the stuff that's like a news story about SEX, you know, we put that after like 8:30, 8:20, 8:30, because usually the kids are in school by then. That being said, the kids are now sleeping in later because they're not in school.
Yeah.
So any of that content, it's not bad anyway. I'm just letting everybody know, it's done earlier in the morning now than later because kids will be awake later.
Good. We get dirty earlier.
Dirty early.
I like that.
We get dirty early. We don't ever get dirty. You guys know that. But I'm just letting you know, any of that content that's like borderline, we would always put to the end of the show. Now I have to put it in the beginning of the show because most kids are not awake now because they're not going to school. Everybody good on that?
Yeah. Yep. There are summer camps, though, you know?
I hear you, but okay. I just got to play the numbers here.
Or if your kids hear something that they shouldn't, it leads to conversation.
That's right.
And then they should watch the Jelly Roll documentary and see what it's like circle. Really hard for.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. It's Wednesday's show. Thank you guys for being here. It's that time. Time to open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. My 13-year-old daughter came to me and said a boy asked her out. He wants to take her to the mall and to a movie. He's a nice boy who she recently met at her best friend's birthday party, and they've been talking since the end of school. I don't want to be a helicopter parent and have her miss out on these teenage experiences, but her father, that's who I am, and I feel that 13 is too young to go on an unsupervised date. Is 13 too young to date? Can I let her go unsupervised? Thank you. Amy, you go. You have a daughter, same situation. She's a little older now, but you've been through it.
Yeah, I mean, she's 16 now, but also I think it's the maturity level of your child and what kind of 13 are they. I think for me, 13 would have been way too young. I couldn't go on an unsupervised date. I could have a boyfriend, but I wasn't like...
Could you go on a supervised date if it was you, him, and your mom?
Yeah, like, or if other friends were going, like, we weren't just, like, one-on-one, that was allowed. I do remember doing that. For me, I had to be 16. But listen, this boy can't drive either, so a parent's going to be dropping them off
unless
no matter what.
Unless he stole the car.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So, I would assess, okay, what kind of daughter is your 13-year-old? What kind of relationship do y'all have? How does she do in school? What are her grades? What kind of personality does she have?
I would assess how to say the word no.
Really?
13 unsupervised? Here, let me assess again.
To the mall?
No. Well, there's people in the mall. Nah, they sneak off. Unsupervised? I don't have kids, so I'm going to say this easily. No. You're under 15, we can talk, because maybe you're going out with a 16-year-old boy.
Right.
And there's that close age. Your 16-year-old daughter, can she date?
I guess she could. We haven't had that. Well, thankfully, we don't have to. I haven't had to worry about that. I will be very curious to see what starts to happen in the next year.
Eddie?
What?
13-year-old? What do you think I'm talking about?
What?
We're in the middle of a segment here.
Man, I zoned out.
13-year-old.
Look, God knows what he's doing. He didn't give me four girls. He gave me four boys. I would not let her date, ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Ever.
You know what Eddie's going to do.
18, 19, out of the house.
Did you let a 13-year-old son go on an unsupervised date?
Yeesh. Trying to picture my boy. He's 15. He hasn't gone on any dates.
You're 15-year-old. If he's like, Dad, I want to go out by myself, drop us off.
15? Yeah. I've raised him, so I think I know what he's
capable of
doing, and I think he's responsible enough to do the right thing.
I think he is too. I think your son is.
Yeah.
And Amy's got a point. It is a case by case, personality by personality decision. But when it comes to that, 13, no.
No.
Well, also, I don't know what other siblings they have running around, but if there's a little brother or little sister, you throw them in.
Nah, that never works, because I would tag along with my brother and he would be like, wait over there while I make out with this chick.
Like, okay,
yeah, all the time. And I'd be like, well, that was fun.
Okay, then send an older one if you got it.
Send them both. Send everybody. That's the point. No. No. Don't. But when she gets mad at you for like, oh, you're not being cool, you can make her a deal. Look, when you're 14 and a half, then we can really start talking about this. But right now, I just got to be not your friend. I got to be your parent.
No,
13's too young.
Whoever the boy is or whatever the case may be like, hey, I would love for him. Can he come hang out over here with us? Have dinner with us? I want to get to know him.
Or you take him.
I think that's important, too.
You take him. Eddie's parents tried that once. His brother's like, you guys hang over there and make out with this girl.
That didn't work.
That didn't work?
No.
All right, thank you. That's the mailbag. Close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride.
We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so what'd you find?
Well, I follow your rich BFF on Instagram. Her name's Vivian.
I don't know her. It's not my rich BFF.
Yeah, Bobby's
no, but that's
rich
the handle
BFF?
at your.
Yeah, everybody looked at me like,
who's that?
And who's Vivian? No.
Eddie's my broke BFF.
Yeah, very different.
So she used to work on Wall Street. She's very relatable, but she gives you all kinds of tips and tricks. And something she posted the other day was how luxury brands, like some stores, have a similar tactic of checking you up and down eyeballs to like make you feel insecure. Like, what are you doing? You can't shop here. And then
so you want to prove
it
them
makes you want to shop there.
Oh, cool.
Have you ever walked into a fancy schmancy furniture store or designer boutique and the sales associate gives you the up, down, judgy side eye? And then you felt self-conscious about them thinking you couldn't afford the items in the store? Yeah, they're doing that on purpose. Salespeople will deliberately act rude and condescending to trick you into thinking you have something to prove.
That's interesting. Mostly, if that happens, I go, they're right, and I walk out.
Yeah, with your head down.
I'm like, they must know the real me. But that's, I didn't know that was actually a tactic. And imagine though, you're somebody that works at this store, and you're like, yeah, I'll do that. Because I got to imagine they're decent people working there, and they're like, no, here's what you're going to do, Betty. When someone walks in, you look them up to them, and you snarl your nose like, you do not belong here. Okay, sure.
I'm going to go in next time and like, are you acting?
Is this a tactic?
Did they tell you to do that?
And they're like, no, sir. We just
you're staring at me up and down.
Yeah, I know, but look at what you're wearing, sir. Interesting. And so what else does she do on this site?
She gives investment advice, like money-saving tips, like airline stuff, like all different kinds of things. Like, she has built a whole brand through her Instagram. Like, I saw she was on the Today Show. It's just, she's got quick, like, 30, 60-second videos that are just helpful.
Your.richBFF is the name.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we got to get an update on our stocks soon.
She could probably help us.
No,
where are you getting the portfolio?
Not now.
Yeah, I'm getting the portfolio out.
He has to turn his phone on and get on his app. Later, we'll do a stock update, okay?
It's time for the good news.
With Amy. Tell me something good.
It is really cool to have a special bond with a teacher. And Tiana Gilbert was teaching middle schoolers at Roberts Academy in Cincinnati, Ohio. And she was so close to four particular students. She moved away from Ohio, but she's remained close to the kids. And now it's time for them to graduate. She took a 2,100-mile road trip to surprise them on their big graduation day.
That's a long drive. I mean, FaceTime, bro. That's awesome. I mean, really, that is awesome. And teachers, you know, some of them we don't deserve because they don't get paid enough and they do way more. And this teacher definitely didn't have to do that. You guys have any teacher you look back at and you're like completely positively influenced by that teacher? Amy?
Not so much.
What?
Is that you? Is that you or them?
It's probably just the kind of student I was. I wish I could go back now and go to school. I feel like I would be a very different student. I guess I have one that, like, she's part of why in my head sometimes I don't feel smart, but at the same time, she also challenged me.
By telling you you're dumb?
She didn't. She said that? Well,
my abusive parents, the reason I'm here today.
Wow.
In a roundabout way, there was a time where I really showed up and excelled at something, and she acted so shocked and surprised in front of the whole class, like, well, like, wasn't expecting that. And it at a time I should have been celebrating because I did do well, I felt shame.
Makes me feel bad.
Right.
And the name of this teacher.
Tell me something bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just tell me something bad. It's maybe not feel good. Yeah. .com, whatever it is.
I've reworked the storyline. I am smart.
Yeah. Eddie?
Miss English, man. She was awesome. She just would do like, Eddie, Fofetti, Fanana, Nana, Fofetti. And I was like, I love this teacher. I'll never forget it.
No, I know.
What do you mean?
How did that?
I was just happy to go to class every day.
Impact your life.
That's legit, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember the first time in my life.
You're not. You're not understanding.
No.
Well, wait.
Bobby, how did that impact your life?
I'm telling you, for the first time, I wanted to go to school because I wanted to hear that song. I wanted to see Miss English. You know, like, it was fun.
Okay. I like it. Lunchbox?
Oh, yeah. Miss Butler, second grade. I mean, she let me slap her butt and pinch her butt every single day.
What has this segment gone to?
I was going to say, Bobby, you should.
We got Amy, who's got trauma from it. Eddie just likes to go to class because the teacher sings to him.
She was awesome.
Lunchbox slapping somebody's butt.
Yeah, my teacher. And then I would get put in timeout on purpose just so I could stare at her legs.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Because I'd sit behind her desk.
Bobby,
I mean, it was awesome.
Share your story because you
second grade.
Well, no, there's a couple. I mean, I have one in high school, Mr. Moshinsky, who he taught physics and taught all the science, and like the science maths. You need to work them together. And I really wasn't where I thrived in the math part of it. I think I made a 24 on my ACT in math, which was good, but it's my lowest by far. And he kind of realized it wasn't my thing, so he kind of held me to a standard, but he also was like, hey, you're really good at this. You should also work on this. Like, we know where you're going. I need you to focus on this. And so I thought that was super cool. And then I had a philosophy teacher in college my freshman year, never taken philosophy before, and never actually had a real conversation with him as a person, but I remember just, I mean, being shell-shocked almost at things I learned and how I felt after this philosophy class. And then I was going to go and give him in-person appreciation. I said, I'm going to do it when I go back after this semester because I really want him to know he changed my life. A super hard class. And he died right before I got to be able to get to go back and tell him. And and that's one of those situations where I'm like, dang, I regret just not doing it then because I could have. Instead of going, I'm going to wait till next year when we come back from summer. He died in the middle.
Man.
But so, yeah, those are Mr. Moshinsky's alive, though.
That's good.
Yeah, and sadly, he never let me slap his butt.
And did he ever sing to you?
Oh,
no.
Man. Did he ever go, Bobby?
I mean, does Coach Gandalf count as a teacher?
No, it counts as a coach.
No. I didn't know sometimes coaches
do. Sometimes they teach.
Well, he's a terrible teacher.
They were so bad. All the football coach teachers are terrible.
He was like, I can stand on this side of the piece of paper, and you can stand on that side of the piece of paper. This is in class, and I bet you can't hit me.
I love it.
And the student's like, what do you mean? He goes, if I stand on this side of the piece of paper, put my foot on this piece side of the piece of paper, I'll lay it on the ground, and you put your foot on this side of the piece of paper, I bet you can't hit me. And the kid's like, all right. And I knew better to get in because I knew there was some trick to it. Didn't know what the trick was. And he goes, okay. And the kid's like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And he goes, what if I can't? And he goes, well, you have to clean some chore. And he goes, deal. And Coach Gandalf takes the piece of paper, puts it under the door, and then shuts the door. Stands on one side of it.
And
he's got to stand on the other side. He goes, can't hit me, can you? Clean the boards.
And he's like, class dismissed.
Yeah. Coach Gandalf, big influence, discipline, kind of a father figure, you know, but not as a teacher. A teacher in life, but not a teacher in the classroom.
Gotcha.
All right, that's what's up. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
We're going to talk about celebrities that are billionaires in a second, but it's the perfect lead in here, this segment. So your kids are asking you, how do they even know about gold diggers?
Oh, I have no idea. But out of nowhere, my son just says, like, hey, Mom, how do you tell if someone's a gold digger? Was his exact question.
Did you go context, please?
I just was like, went to my usual default and said, go ask Alexa.
Oh. Send him away.
And if this were 10 years ago, I would say maybe that he heard this song and didn't wonder, but it's not like this song's played anywhere anymore. Yeah. It's not current. So what did Alexa tell him?
Well, to spot a gold digger, you watch out for someone who asks about what you own, like what you earn, your stock options, early on in your relationship. This is specifically answering how to tell if someone is a gold digger.
Does he have a girl that likes him and he's wondering if she's a gold digger?
Ooh.
No. There was something I was about to say, but he asked me, do not say this on the Bobby Bone Show. So I can't say what I was about to say,
okay. But
I can say this. See how they respond when you ask them about their career. For example, if they're happy to stay in a low-level job or not have one at all, they may be looking for someone to fund their lifestyle.
So if you're wondering if someone's a gold digger, you're supposed to go, so what do you feel like you're going to do with your career? And they're like, I'm chill right here. I don't make much. I don't really like it that much, but I'm cool.
Gold digger.
But I want to live this champagne lifestyle.
But I also want to have... Got it.
Right. Okay. She even suggested, if you want to test out your partner, give them an inexpensive but thoughtful, light-hearted gift. It's kind of like a flower. And if they're a gold digger, they'll dismiss it.
Cubic zirconia.
Well, no, that's to trick them.
Yeah.
To make them think it's real.
Yeah, that's to trick them. That's not to test them. That's to trick them.
Also, be cautious if your partner often has sudden emergencies that cause them to need money from you, which is a typical excuse used by gold diggers.
Well, that's a swindler.
That's a scam.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else you got?
The true definition of a gold digger, in case anybody knows, it's a person who is in a romantic relationship, marriage or whatever, to a wealthy person, is, and they're primarily motivated by the desire for money.
Like they just want to be
that's
with
all
them
they want.
Because of the money.
Yeah, and I have tips to avoid gold diggers. Don't pretend to be rich.
But what if you are? Should you?
Well, that's the next one is don't show off.
Got it.
Don't mention that you're rich.
Yeah, if you're pretending to be rich and you're not, everybody loses.
Right.
Even the gold digger.
You lose, gold digger loses, you wasted a bunch of money, yeah. You know, flexing like when you really can't.
Like instead of a sugar daddy, be like a debt daddy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Listen to your friends, because oftentimes they can spot one maybe before you can. Don't dress too nicely. Live in a normal house.
Don't dress too nicely.
What do you mean?
If you're trying to, like, you know, repel gold diggers, live in a normal house. Make sure your expensive cars are stored away. And then lastly, don't go to fancy restaurants too often.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll remember that.
So what were the tips you gave your son? Yeah. Yeah, please remember that.
Yeah.
What were the tips you gave your son about this?
Oh. Alexa.
Oh, you sent them all to Alexa and then you never talked about it again with him?
No, I was over there taking notes. I was like, wait, is this again? I'm like writing this stuff down and typing it and trying to be like, oh, this is good. Like, I want to collect this stuff because some people might be getting gold dugged right now. Dugged.
Do you worry about your gold getting dug now that you're single?
No.
Why not? You going to eat at nice places?
No, maybe. She puts the expensive cars away.
Maybe some of these tips you need to keep and put in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, if I go out with someone that is not motivated to work, that's going to be a problem. I don't care how much they make as long as they... Success doesn't mean money, but if they're passionate about what they do and they actually like put forth effort...
But what if they're really cool, though?
Yeah, fun. Like really hot. They have 8 abs.
No, I cannot. I would be 0% attracted to someone that just wanted to just stay home all day.
Do you guys think that's why Lunchbox dresses the way he does? Just keep the gold diggers away?
He's married.
That's right. Yeah.
What do you mean that's right? I don't understand. What's right? What's right about any of that?
All of it.
No.
Like, I want to keep the gold diggers away?
Uh-huh.
But also, I mean, gold digger, you can come be a gold digger all you want. It's a separate bank account, so you ain't getting it. So,
oh yeah, that's
dig,
right.
Dig, dig.
His wife has a different account.
No, but you would buy them stuff.
Nah, I don't really buy my wife stuff. I mean,
at all.
Just, I couldn't tell you the last thing I bought my wife.
Didn't one of y'all do like if you're going out with someone for the first time, you go to a?
I date you all the time, like first date.
That's it.
Go like a little crappy taco place.
Oh.
See how they respond.
I'd never try to impress anybody. Also, I didn't have very much money then either. So my point then wasn't the gold digger. It was like, I'm not going to overextend myself and go fancy for a couple reasons. One, because I don't really got it. And then two, because I don't want them to think this is what normal is and their expectations be high.
Right.
Yeah. I just think that Lunchbox, you should maybe invest in your wife a little bit, you know?
I do. I give her kisses here and then. You're like, what's up?
I heard Scuba Steve heard his vasectomy because he was getting it on early.
Wait, what?
Early. No. I hear him on the phone going, yeah, I think I aggravated it because I did the dirty right when we got home.
The doctor said not to do it right away, but I had to.
Yeah,
but
is that true, Scuba Steve?
So I didn't know you weren't supposed to do that, but we got home.
You're injured. It's like you had surgery on your arm and you go pitch the next day.
I know. It's a euphoric moment. We get home. My wife's all excited. I can't tell her no.
Yes. You're injured.
And so she wants to go, and so I go, and then...
It's her. You're putting it on her.
Putting it on her, and I put it down, and then we find out.
Oh, my gosh.
And I find out, like, maybe a couple hours later, I'm like, man, I'm really hurting.
That's why you were hurting so bad. That's why it was so abnormal.
And then I scan the code on the sheet that he gave me to all the information, what to do in post, and one of them was, don't do that, and, yeah, I did that.
You came home immediately after surgery and worked the part that had been surgically repaired.
I mean, the engine in the van was still warm. That's how quickly we went right for it.
Okay.
Engine in the van.
Yeah, like his van just gotten home.
I got it, Amy.
Yeah. No, yeah, he was being literal about the engine in the van, Eddie.
Right.
Doesn't any good.
Got it.
And I do want to say this on Friday. I just want to give you guys a heads up. We've teamed up with Building Homes for Heroes to help veteran United States Marine Corps Corporal Aaron Mankin and his two children. We have a limited edition patriotic Pimp and Joy line that's on sale Friday at BobbyBones.com. 10 Eastern. We don't keep any of the money. Again, we don't keep any of the money. And we're going to help out United States Marine Corps Corporal Aaron Mankin. And on May 11th, 2005, while deployed near the Syrian border of Iraq, Corporal Mankin's vehicle was attacked with an improvised explosive device, otherwise known as an IED. And here he is explaining what happened.
Our track just happened to hit a stack mine that threw a 26-ton vehicle 10 feet in the air. I don't know how I escaped it, Bobby, to tell you the God honest truth. I mean, it took the lives of six Marines. I had to give my face and my flesh and a few fingers, but honestly, every day's been a blessing since.
And since then, he's undergone 70 surgeries, and we want to help him out and build him a house that is more suitable to his lifestyle after all these surgeries and injuries. So Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central, 8 Mountain, 7 Pacific. It'll go live at BobbyBones.com. And again, we don't keep any of the money. Let's do it again. I think we've built 6 homes so far.
Yeah, awesome. This will be the 7th. And you get this stuff in time for 4th of July. So it's an awesome way to be patriotic. But also when you're there, it's a conversation starter. Like, oh, the Pimp and Joy, what is that? And you can say, oh, I just bought this year to build a home for this guy. And he served our country. And
BobbyBones.com. Put it in your calendar. That'll happen. We've sold out before. Hopefully we won't sell it. Hopefully we will, but hopefully we can keep it. It's just a fine line, right? We want to produce as much as we possibly can, but sometimes the overwhelming demand puts us on a back order, but we don't want that. We want you guys to buy up quickly on Friday.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride.
We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll give you two celebrities who became billionaires. You tell me who became a billionaire first, meaning youngest.
Oh, wow.
For example, Kylie Jenner or Kim Kardashian.
Oh, Kylie.
That's easy.
Yeah,
she was little.
Well, no, 21.
Easy,
well,
I mean,
you know.
Not little.
I mean, you know.
Little was like 9.
We knew her. I mean, when were we introduced to her? Like, she was what? 10, 11?
Something like that.
My wife
is now watching it from the beginning, so you see the show.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, here we go. Write your answer down. Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos? Who became a billionaire earlier? Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos?
I don't even know who's older than that.
I'm in.
Lunchbox?
Bezos.
Eddie?
Musk.
Elon.
Elon Musk was 41 when he became a billionaire.
Oh,
Jeff Bezos was 35.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
The answer is Jeff Bezos.
And he was Amazon the whole time?
Books, though, first and pivoted.
Wow.
Amazon was a bookstore.
Yeah, I remember that.
Next up, Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg? Who became a billionaire first?
Ooh.
B, billionaire. How much? Ooh. How many millions is a billion? Lunchbox?
100.
That's 100 million.
Oh, then I don't even know. 10,000?
Say again?
10,000? No.
1,000. 1,000 million is a billion.
1,000
million. Yeah, 999 million right, is a thing.
Yeah.
Dang, man, I wish I'd be there.
I wish I'd be there.
Hey, who are we doing right now?
You're on your way.
Keep working, man.
Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg?
Okay.
You got this.
You guys in?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm writing it down. All right, I got it.
Okay. Eddie?
Are you trying to be a trick question? Zuckerberg.
Lunchbox?
Zucker.
Amy?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates was 31. Zuckerberg was 23.
Dang it.
Yeah.
I'm
trying
to go.
I know. I thought that way too, Amy.
I don't know.
Jay-Z or Rihanna?
Ooh.
Billion.
Dang.
I'm in.
I'm in.
I'm in.
Lunch?
Easy one. Rihanna.
Eddie?
Rihanna.
Amy?
Rihanna.
Good. Yeah, Rihanna. 34. We're beautiful like diamonds. Jay-Z was 50 when he hit the B Club. Rihanna was 34.
Gosh, 34 years old.
Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods?
I'm in.
I'm in.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay.
Amy?
Tiger.
Lunch?
Tiger.
Eddie?
Tiger.
Tiger, 33. Yeah, it's great. Michael Jordan's 51. Tiger was 33 when he became a billionaire.
Oh, wait, am I shocked that all these people are billionaires?
Is I don't know. More? You tell us. Are you
There's more billionaires now than ever. It's 1,000
right.
million.
I guess I didn't realize there was that many.
Well, there's not that many. We're picking them. Famous ones.
But I would, I'm starting to think, well, is this a trick and neither one of them are billionaires?
Hey, I got a question. You know what they say, though? The hardest is getting that first million. Once you get that first million is when it really takes off. That's what I keep telling myself.
So Drake had posted that. And then the oil guy from Oklahoma City, or not Oklahoma City, but the big Oklahoma State fan. I forget his name.
T Boone Pickens.
Oh yeah.
He like quote tweeted him and was like, "No,
not true.
Making your first billion is the hardest thing."
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Dang.
Mark Cuban or Warren Buffett? Mark Cuban or Warren Buffett?
Gosh.
Warren, not Jimmy, right?
Mm-hmm. Warren.
Warren.
Yeah, the higher you get, you just add one simple zero and it changes everything.
I'm in.
Amy?
Mark Cuban.
Lunch?
Cuban.
Eddie?
Cuban.
Yeah, Cuban was 40. I listened to the story about how he became a billionaire on the Smartless show on HBO, where they're doing their show on video. And he said he was just one morning at his computer hitting F5 to refresh on Yahoo Finance because he had a bunch of stock and stock kept going up. And he was like, come on. Got it. Boom. He's a billionaire.
Wow.
He said then he knew it could go back down and he could not be worth $1 billion anymore, but that's how he found out. Just in his underwear at home.
Wouldn't you just sell right then so then you're a billionaire forever?
I think probably if you're a billionaire, you've made a lot of correct decisions financially, and that would not be probably a great financial decision to only do it because you're a billionaire. You keep your money in if you feel like it is a stock that's going to continue to rise. You don't just jump out because you got
to
be.
Oh, weird. Like when I play slots, I'm always like, when I get to $200, I'm cashing out.
Different though. Slots are all chance.
Exactly. Okay.
No. Slots are all chance.
Okay. It's a little different.
And he has made millions and millions based off of the knowledge that he has and his strategy in finance. You know, he sold the first streaming basically.
Yeah.
So different than slots, Eddie, where you're just throwing money in and
it's
guessing.
It's a little different.
Oprah or Tyler Perry?
Oh, that's a good one.
Billion.
B, billion. Oprah or Tyler Perry?
I'm in.
And then we'll do one more after this. Everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
Lunchbox.
TP, Tyler Perry.
Eddie.
Tyler Perry.
Amy.
Tyler.
It's Oprah, 49 years old. Tyler Perry's 50.
Well, I didn't realize Tyler Perry was that old.
He actually looks younger.
I still thought he was 40.
Last one. Lunchbox is up one. He's about to win this thing.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Don't put the pressure.
Mackenzie Scott Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, or Jack Dorsey, the Twitter founder.
So she becomes a billionaire when she gets divorced.
No. Or when she's married.
No.
Or
she doesn't have that money.
How not?
Until she's divorced.
I'm in.
That's tough, man. I'm in.
Lunchbox?
Jack.
Eddie.
Mackenzie.
Amy.
Isn't she a billionaire even when she's married? She doesn't have to get divorced.
Come on, Amy.
Mackenzie.
The answer is Jack Dorsey, 36.
No.
They credit Mackenzie at 49, which they divorced in 2019.
Boom! Oh, he was right.
Boom!
I hate it.
Guys, you got to use your intellect. That's how you become a billionaire, folks.
How is that not her money?
You guys are never going to be billionaires because you don't know how to think.
She was with him
from the
beginning.
Maybe they had separate accounts like
Lunchbox. Come on now.
Right.
You guys don't know.
It could have been something as he had started a company before he met her. I'm not sure. I don't know marriage.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dang.
Well, good job, Lunchbox.
Yeah, Lunch. Good
Lunchbox,
job.
You are one step closer to being a billionaire.
Yeah! Let's go!
Good for you. What do you have working financially right now?
Man, I got stocks. I got bonds. I got...
bonds.
I got...
What bonds?
Bail bonds. Let's do the number ones. The number one song in hip-hop is from Drake, Search and Rescue. I just wanna take you on a holiday. Say what's on your mind. Number one pop song, Miguel, Sure Thing. Even when the sun don't shine, I got faith in you and I. Number one song country, Morgan Wallen, Last Night. I know that last night we lit the liquor. Last week, Dan and Shay, You was at number two and it peaked at two. It was weird.
That's it?
That's it. It got to two. That's weird that it gets a two. Like, I could see if it died to like 4 or 11. But to two, that's really rare that happens. Now it's a number nine. The two this week is Scotty McCreery, It Matters to Her. You think she don't know it's what you're doing, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, Morgan Wallen just locks onto that number one spot. That's probably why Dan and Shay didn't get it, is Morgan Wallen just locked down on that thing.
He won't move from
there?
You
ever see two dogs get a separate, you're like, oh no, there's...
They're fighting?
No.
They're
doing the opposite of fighting.
Oh. Loving.
And they can't, they're like, should I separate them? He's framed with a water hose. Don't you have to do that?
Morgan, why would
you
separate them?
That's Morgan Wallen with the number one spot.
Yeah.
You gotta spray it with a water hose to separate it.
That's funny.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor,
as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bob Bone Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
If you can't talk to a therapist, you can talk to yourself. There's a neuropsychologist, Dr. Hafez, and he suggests that you can say these certain things to yourself until maybe you can get to a professional.
So you just repeat it over and over?
I'll give you some things.
What is
it? Keep in your back pocket.
Okay, go ahead.
I have the power to create positive outcomes for myself.
Okay, so this is different than therapy.
Yes, but he is suggesting that you have the power by speaking to yourself and talking to your brain and reframing things.
Okay, so it's not I've got trauma from my childhood. It's just to get you through the day with a more positive outlook.
Well, he does say I am capable of handling challenges and obstacles.
Yeah.
Like believing, like if you tell yourself. And I saw this whole thing that this woman was talking about how even if it's in the beginning you don't believe it, just keep lying to yourself and eventually your brain will be like, wow, I can handle things.
Same can be said to other people. Keep lying to them and they'll start believing you.
No.
Just be a liar.
No. I am in control is another one. I choose to let go of worry and focus on the present moment. And I like this one too because it acknowledges that anxiety is okay. It says, it's okay for me to be anxious, but I can get through it. That way you're not ignoring what's happening.
I think we should take these and write them down and put them on our Facebook page just as a quote so people can go look at them. Because you saying that, no one will ever remember all those. It's like when I get a commercial from a client and they put their phone number in it twice. And I'm like, not a single person's going to know this phone number that I'm saying.
No chance.
Just give me the website. Or say Google such a... Because if you're like, do-do-do-ba-da-ba-da. I mean, it's my pet peeve. And I never don't do it. Excuse the double negative. But I'll read a commercial for somebody and it's got the phone number in it. And I'm thinking to myself, what a waste of space. They could be saying something else about the product, but no one's going to remember those lines that Amy said. And no one's going to remember a commercial or a phone number in a commercial. So we're going to write them down. You good with that?
Yeah, let's post them.
Okay, good.
We'll put up the affirmation so people can find them.
Love it. And stop sending me commercials with phone numbers.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
Yes.
Sometimes if they're easy and they have a word in it, like if it's like.
Yeah, 222. Yes.
Sonic.
Goober.
Yeah.
Or it's just the same number, all of them.
2222.
Yeah. But sometimes it's like 254-873-2419. Yeah. And I'm like,
You know what I do sometimes? I'll sing and make up a jingle for the commercials just so maybe it sticks with somebody's head.
Yeah.
I'll be like, 222-4229. That's not even a real number, but yes. Go ahead, Amy.
An eating disorder hotline had to shut down the AI chatbot that was working for them. They hired Tessa, or I guess installed
her.
Tessa, created her earlier this year because the hotline workers voted to unionize, so it's hard to get people on the phone, and they wanted people to have support if they called. However, Tessa was recommending poor and harmful advice to people that were calling in with eating disorders. Tessa was recommending that they count calories and strive for a deficit of 1,000 calories a day.
You think somebody hacked that?
I don't know. It's just crazy to me because this is the NEDA hotline. That's the National Eating Disorder Association. Like,
that's like, that's like somebody hacking it or somebody getting, not hacking, just having access to it. Because I don't think it says all that stuff when it's actually supposed to say the opposite of that stuff without somebody getting in.
I feel like chatbots, don't they just pull things from the, all over? They pull it from the inner webs.
Meemaw, you good this morning?
The internet. Because some people think that doing that sort of stuff is okay. But if you have an eating disorder, it is not.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think
somebody hacked it. It's like someone hacks a street sign and says, zombies are coming. We all get a good laugh.
Yeah.
They've done that, but this is different.
Well, anyway, Tessa's out. They're going to try to bring humans back in.
Also, Tessa's a terrible name for that. Yeah, go ahead.
Carrie Underwood, she has the Sunday Night Football
song.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how much she makes per week on that?
Mm-hmm. How would I know that?
I don't know.
I'd really just state it, you know?
Maybe
now, go ahead.
You read it somewhere or she told you.
A week, go ahead.
$1 million a week.
No chance.
Okay, do you know how many weeks there are in football?
Yeah, 17 games.
See, you do
nothing. There's no chance. I'm telling you, there's no chance she's making $18 million a year from that song being played. No chance.
Okay.
I'm saying it. You heard me say it? I'm saying it. There's no. She does well, but there's
Yeah. I mean, it's a...
Hold on. No chance she makes $18 million from just that song playing.
Per season? I mean, it's a wild report, but it says it here.
Who? Tessa?
Yeah, it does say it.
Did Tessa say that? Because Tessa's full of crap. We just learned that. Go ahead.
What, Lunchbox?
ScottFujita.com has that. It's $1 million.
Hey, no one's more believable than Scott Fujita.
Scott Fujita?
Yeah. There is... She may make $3 or $4 million, $5 million to do it, but there's just no chance she makes $1 million a week.
If that's true, that's crazy.
I got some songs to write then.
Yeah.
But for a lot of different... Are you ready for some pickleball? I'm going to start getting them ready now for that League of
Legends. Oh, yeah. Get ahead of it.
That was Amy's pile of stories. It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Last week, Miss Williams is driving the school bus in Milwaukee, and she's got 30 kids on there when she... What's that smell? And she looks back, and there's smoke in the back of the bus. And she's like, uh-oh. And she's trying to call dispatch. Hey, we got smoke on the bus. Then all of a sudden, she starts seeing flames. And she's 8 months pregnant. She's like, what do I do? Do I run off the bus? No. She gets all 30 kids off the bus. Go, 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 go. And then the flames are taking over the bus. And she gets out, and she has to be rushed to the hospital with smoke inhalation.
Dang. How long until she had the baby after that?
It says that the baby has not come out yet, which is crazy. You would
that
think
story that, just happened?
Like, yeah, just it was last week.
Wow. I'm surprised 8 months she's driving a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to work, man. You can work. You can clean the house, cook until day of the baby.
House. Clean the house, cook.
What are you talking about? Why'd you go full Little House on the Prairie in 19...
Do the dishes?
20, and... Barefoot.
I mean, I'm just saying
there's a steering wheel. That bus doesn't seem like physically, if you're that pregnant, it's kind of hard to make the big turns. Not that you can't do anything while you're pregnant. I just think...
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
The Fox is like, you can do laundry. You can vacuum.
When I come home from work... Yeah, I mean,
what?
Yeah, that was my bad.
Yeah, you're bad. Shout out.
Okay.
What's her name again?
Miss Williams.
Miss Williams, shout out to you. And yeah, you can work 8 months. Literally, mine was the physical part of it, like the steering wheel.
Yes. No, we got you.
Yeah, mine too. Mine was the
sure part was.
The stove.
Thank you. Thank you. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.